The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 24th of July, 2023. And you're very welcome along to another edition and another week of the 9 till noon show. How are you keeping? I do hope you are all well indeed. I know some people are... waking up for the second day to the devastation of the floods which struck East Donegal again. We had effectively much of July's rain falling in 4 hours on Saturday evening. Were you affected by that? Have you a comment to make on it? 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. Severe flooding too across the border. Feel free to have your say. 0035 386 60 25000. Just feeling for those businesses not able to open up this morning. People going down the stairs or across the hall to their home, which is once again flooded. If you want to share your story, as I say, feel free to give us a call too on 074 91 25000, 074 91 25000. As I say, just a torrential downpour, which for the most part was forecast. It's not like it came completely out of the blue. We have been hit in the past whereby there was no indication that we were going to get prolonged period of rain, but we did know. Now, I'm not in the know to say, well, watch out, everyone, this could create flooding. I presume we have professionals that would have that information if it were relevant, but we'll try to get to the bottom of that as well. As I say, you can email the program as well, which I haven't said, comments at highlandradio.com. Later on in the program as well, our Monday focus is on the issue of smart meters. The rollout is happening. So maybe you have questions as it relates to them. I mean, obviously we can cover, you know, if you don't want them, what do you do? Or it's going to be slightly more difficult to get an answer to a question as to you didn't want one and one was fitted. But certainly in terms of how they operate, your concerns in terms of, you know, the cost, anything to do with smart meters. We just thought maybe it's time to have a refresher Q&A on that. So if you've got any Qs, hopefully we'll have the A's. Get in touch with us on the same numbers. We'll try and get those questions answered for you. Brendan Devaney will join us, of course, as he always does on a Monday. We'll run through the weekend's sporting action, the GE action, of course, that's the focus. Did you enjoy the hurling game yesterday? What a second half performance that was. It really was just otherworldly. Or it's like, I was going to say, what's the opposite to subhuman? Superhuman. Just really, really quite remarkable display. But anyway, there's that. And then there's local action too, which we'll reflect on. So that's all coming up and plenty more. Besides, we'll have news on a very important defective concrete block meeting, which is taking place tonight as well. Right, the Donegal news this morning. As heavy rain battered down across the county on Saturday evening, many homes and businesses had or held their breath and braced for what they feared was history repeating itself. Castlefin, Raphoe and the surrounding area yet again felt the brunt of the unforgiving showers. In Raphoe alone, it was reported that close to 80 millimetres of rain fell on Saturday night, which equates to a typical month's worth of rainfall. Coyle Centre, where one of the many businesses in the town affected by the flash flooding, they shared how it was frustrating and shocking for history to repeat itself and to see what Raphoe was still not able to defend itself against floods. The Frams report, isn't it? The Frams report finished in 2017. That's 6 years ago. I'm not sure if any element of that has been implemented in the area. If it has, it hasn't really worked very well. But we knew this is an area of the county that's vulnerable to flooding. As I say, that report highlighted it, and I presume some suggestions as to how it would be addressed. They referenced quite rightly the amount of rainfall. I think it was 62 millilitres, or millimetres, sorry, that fell between 4 and 8 on Saturday. And the average rainfall for July, you'd expect, is around about 90. Really quite remarkable. The Derry news this morning. Mayor's office overspends 2 years in a row. The Mayor's office of Derry City and Strabane District Council has overspent its allocated annual budget for the second year in a row, Derry News can reveal. The budget is set at €91,200 per year, the highest amount out of the 11 councils across the north. The overspend was made public at a meeting of the Council's Governance and Strategic Planning Committee in June. It was outlined in a document titled Derry City and Strabane District Council Year-End 31st March 2023 Financial Outrun Summary. More details in the paper today. The Irish Times this morning, different extreme of weather. Almost 19,000 people have been helped to safety from wildfires in the Greek island of Rhodes as part of Greece's largest emergency evacuation. The Department of Foreign Affairs has warned against travelling to areas in Greece after affected by wildfires. Yesterday evening, there were reports of a further fire in Corfu, with authorities also ordering the evacuation of five small settlements there. Tourists are now scrambling to get out of Rhodes, with some still in their swimsuits, sheltered in schools and hotel conference spaces, and airlines struggling to organise enough return flights. Special measures are being put in place for those who left identification documents behind when fleeing to safety, but who now want to travel home. Maybe you or someone close to you was affected by that. We'd also be very keen to speak to you, of course. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp number. Interesting development in the world of mortgages. This is in the Irish Independent. Credit unions are planning to capture a huge swathe of the mortgage market with a low-cost, no-gimmicks national mortgage brand, which has been a long time coming. I would have thought this is something they could have done a long time ago. Well, the member-owned lenders are looking at setting up a centralised mortgage company with the aim of getting to a point of issuing 1 in 10 of all mortgages in the market. Such a centralised service company would allow the sector to have common mortgage rates, a centralised underwriting facility and shared marketing. This could see the sector issuing $1 billion worth of mortgages over the next 7 years. It is proposed mortgages would become a core offering of the sector. The plans are outlined in a proposal document marked confidential, put to credit unions at a meeting in Athlone last Monday. But of course, obviously, it's been leaked and there is the information. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. An independent Dublin City Councillor has dismissed the Justice Minister's claim that Dublin is safe and said some parts of the city were worse than The Wire. Now, that's a programme out some time ago about crime in Baltimore in the United States. Well, Manix Flynn, who is also the Vice Chair of Dublin City Council's Policing Committee, said this problem has been gathering for years and the only response by this government has been fake Garda station openings and fake promises. Certain areas of the centre are worse than The Wire, the TV crime drama. Violence is endemic. There are no consequences to that violence and the people are abandoned. For citizens, policing does not exist in the city. Even the Gardaí will tell you that. There is no evidence on the streets that the agencies of the state are prepared to battle pure criminality. No protests in these areas, funny enough. Commenting on the increasing dilapidated state of parts of central Dublin under the stewardship of Dublin City Council's Chief Owen Keegan, Mr. Flynn said, "This has created an atmosphere of fear and foreboding, and the response of the state is to encourage legalised public street drunkenness with on-street seating outside pubs." But obviously people are also publicly dealing drugs and other brandishing knives. And you speak to people in Dublin who've lived there for quite some time. They believe it's not safe. But the Justice Minister believes it is, as does the Pascal Donoghue, I believe, also said he believed that Dublin is safe. Funny enough, the Justice Minister, though, in saying so, was walking through the streets flanked by a number of Gardaí. So, of course, in that situation, you would feel safe. I do wonder, and I wouldn't want her to, would she feel as safe on her own walking those same streets as night sets in? I suggest perhaps not. On to the Irish Daily Star now, and the HSE was miles off the targets it set for emergency departments covering the length of time patients spent in A&E, the number on trolleys, delays in treating over 75s and slow handover of patients from ambulances. In a board strategic scorecard, unscheduled care was given a rating of just 1 out of 5, with significant concerns targets were again not going to be met this year. According to the figures, which were shared with Health Minister Stephen Donnelly in April, a daily target of 236 patients on trolleys in A&Es had been set for 2023, but the actual figure was 352 in January and 326 in February. Another target of having 97% of patients gone from the ED within 24 hours was also missed, the records show. Instead, in January, 53% of patients, sorry, that's very hard to read that, because it's 5.3% of patients were at least a day in A&E, while in February that number had fallen only slightly to 5% of patients. And again, I know some people listening, and know some people personally, they are those that those targets were missed for. On to the Irish Daily Mirror. Twitter owner Elon Musk plans to replace the social media site's iconic bird logo with an X as soon as today. The blue emblem, known as Larry the Bird, has been Twitter's emblem since its creation in 2006. Yesterday, Musk tweeted, "And soon we shall bid adieu to the Twitter brand and gradually all the birds." It's if a good enough X logo is posted tonight, we'll make it go live worldwide tomorrow. Eventually, Musk posted a video of an X overtaking the bird. He was tweeting all through Saturday night, I did notice, almost as if he was out at the same time. It'll be interesting to see if he follows through with all of the stuff that he was saying. It's not much interest to anyone unless you use Twitter, though, I'd imagine. And on to the Sun finally. RTE's two stations could be split like the BBC and Channel 4, with ads on one and not the other, says the senator. The Irish broadcaster is presently dual-funded with income from the €160 licence fee in advertising. In the UK, the BBC is primarily funded by the licence fee payer. However, Channel 4 does not receive any public money and is backed entirely by its own commercial activities. Fianna Fáil Senator Malcolm Byrne, a familiar voice and face from those committee meetings. He's a member of the Oireachtas Media Committee that has been grilling Ryan Tubridy, an RTE executive, says that a similar model could work here too. He told the Irish Sun, "There are a few examples of these models around the world," and goes on to list them there. Right, okay, that's a run through of the newspapers this morning. Just a reminder for you before we take a quick break, 086 60 25000. That's a WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, it was a horrendous weekend, particularly Saturday, for many people living in the Rafoe, Castlefin and surrounds, as heavy rain fell on Saturday, causing extensive flooding. Roads looked like rivers, quite literally. The centre of Rafoe had water gushing down side streets and washing through the Diamond. If you didn't see any of that footage, we are going to be running some of it here for those of us, those of you watching the stream. Dale joins us now in the programme. Dale, thanks so much for taking the call. I do appreciate it.
Morning, Greg. How are things?
I'm all right. Now, it was your parents affected by this primarily, wasn't it, Dale? What did they go through?
It was, well, again, with the heavy rainfall, Greg, we kind of knew that it's going to be a repeat of history again in Rafoe. And the parents' house, the water came through the front door, down and through the sitting room, into the kitchen, and out the back door, resulting in it running out into the backyard as well, which was totally destroyed with trenches a foot and a half deep, concrete broke. The mains power line down to a back shed is lying bare. The rear shed where I do a bit of screwing about the cars and stuff of my own, tools, equipment. You know, you have welders, diagnostic equipment, and a car itself was actually flooded, and the damage as well, and the whole flooding.
This is not like we didn't know this could happen. You know, if there was extensive rainfall, I mean, we knew this was a potential issue, particularly in Rafoe.
Yeah, Greg, this is happening. I'm 36 years of age, and this has been happening in Rafoe before I was born. And nothing has been done by any of the local authorities, councils, nothing. They've sent out this Rafoe relief survey and thing that I was sort of looking into meetings and all. I was at watching stuff, doing all that kind of stuff, and nothing has came off it. I mean, even the emergency response who came, and I have to say they came, and the council came. There's piles of people, local community, everybody came together. But again, we didn't even have simple things like sandbags. Mm. They all came. And when they came was when the water was going down. Our exact repeat of the last time that the flooding happened here in Rafoe. The exact same. I was speaking to a few councillors that came round and again spoke, "Oh, we'll try and see where this happened." And we all know why it's happened. I mean, the drainage system and all the new houses, all the new developments, like Ullard Hounds, that has been made, and the drainage system cannot capable of holding water. I mean, if you're running 2 foot drainage pipes into a 3 foot round pipe and you're running 60 of them in there, common sense, it doesn't take you to go to college or an engineering degree to tell you that it's not going to work.
As you say, you've seen this many times before, Dale. How would this rank in terms of severity and damage compared to what you've seen before?
The biggest problem here in this time, Greg, was the last time I got flooded, the same damage, a massive flood of water came. The last time, I think, might have been a couple of inches higher, hitting the front of the house. But this time, it was for the length of time that it was there. Mm. There are thousands of tons of water coming down. A chute is more or less coming in, hitting the house, running down. It's just busting. I mean, roads and everything up Mungurry. I mean, there's families here, and they're walking about today and yesterday. Just they're not knowing what they're going to mean. I mean, the cost of living at the minute between groceries and bills, and now they've got wooden floors, kitchen units, skirting boards. I mean, go out and buy them today and see what kind of bill they're going to have on top of that. I mean, the people think that the flooding and the water damage and everything is bad enough, but you know the mental strain that this is going to put on families, on relationships, on just the cost of living. I mean, there's somebody has to have some responsibility for something. I mean, the last time this happened, we had councillors around here promising, right, we're going to set up emergency place that we can have sandbags sitting, that local authorities and volunteers can get in, fill all the sandbags and put them out. I mean, when the fire service landed here, we were all standing. I mean, there's nothing you can do about the water, but we didn't have any sand. And this is the same. I mean, it can't cost that much. The council couldn't put a load of sand somewhere and have sandbags sitting dry. Now, obviously, I know we can't have sand.
You can't have
sandbags,
them pre-packed, of course. Yeah,
they rot.
You can have a central space where there are dry bags and where there is sand, because it was there was desperation. people putting out posts and what have you. We need sandbags. It's an emergency. People were fighting to try and save their properties.
It was, Greg, when this happened, I mean, it was that bad that the town was closed. The roads were blocked. You weren't allowed in or out of the town. And it was like a scene of Armageddon in the town, with blue flashing lights and amber flashing lights, you know. And you had, you know, in the middle of the town here, it's an older community. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there getting their pension every week, trying to pay their bills. And they're looking at their carpets and their old chairs, that, you know, sentimental stuff, getting washed away in water. Never mind the sewers overflowing, you know. And I appreciate people calling, the councillors calling around, talking about what they're going to do, but talking isn't going to be enough. The damages last time cost me nearly €10,000. And there's one thing that I can't guarantee that this isn't going to happen again. There's one thing I will guarantee: there'll be no insurance man driving around the day throwing out money at people.
No. It's early days yet. Do you know if you're covered by insurance this time, Dale, and your family?
No, I have to make, you know, it's a vague area here in Rapoport. Yeah. I mean, the last time I went to get insurance, they made it and stated it very obviously clear, as it has gone back a few years, that you weren't insured for flooding in Rafal. Yeah. Not, no way, they're not taking that risk. But they'll insure me if a plane crashed into my roof of the house.
Yeah, I get you.
So
yeah.
I didn't know whether to take that gamble or not. You know, the insurance companies take premiums for everybody. And then when you're here, the obvious stuff like a flood of water, I mean, that could happen to anybody. Mm. They're not willing to take that risk. You know, it's complete madness. But, you know, the councillors here and everything else now saying what they're going to do, and this is, we'll get a report on why this has happened. We all know why it's happened. We don't need a report. We need an emergency backup system here in Rafal. I mean, there was a red warning for rain here in the area of Rafal. Mm-hmm. And there was still no emergency response or no emergency setup until it was too late. If this was down the country a bit, or down near Dublin, the whole of Ireland would have been shut down, and they would have got lorry loads of sand from a beach and had it sitting so people could shovel stuff in. Mm. But again, here in Donegal and these wee back towns, I mean, the businesses alone in Rafal, everybody kicking together and sweeping all out, they have to open to keep themselves going. They have to clean up. They have to repair whatever they have just to get themselves open again. I mean, there's no... Where is all the support? They need to be somebody coming out of the town And I'm not talking about in a week. I mean today, they need to get up off their chairs and out of their offices and up onto a phone and speak to the local people. Speak not to the people who think they know what they're talking about. Go and grab a look at the farmers who've been farming the land for 60 or 70 years, know where the flow of water comes and goes. Go and get the sand organised and bags organised. It gives heavy rain again for them the next week. I mean, the mentality for some of these pension people that's sitting in their houses and they hear a shower of rain, do you think they're going to sleep right?
No, and I'll talk to them. I know.
Do you know?
Yeah.
You right, know, Dale. It's
no, go ahead.
It's just a massive problem that needs addressed, and there's always a noise made, always, and as I say, I'm just another person who's making a noise about the flooding and the damages and everything else. And but to give you a guide, my shed level is 7 foot above where the burn runs.
Wow. Okay.
And my shed was flooded with 2 foot of water.
That's 9 foot. It had to, right.
Now, that's the level that we're working with. It's not just a run of water, people's houses and that. It's destroying the town.
I mean, the local roads. Obviously, we had the FRAMS report in 2017 looking into, you know, flood mitigation in Rafoe. That's all maybe medium long term. Are you aware of any measures that were taken in the short term to try and make sure drains were big enough to make sure there's proper drain maintenance? And of course, we know.
Greg, there haven't been a shovel put in the ground. There haven't been a shovel put in the ground as far as it goes for drains or nothing. And fair play again, Glenard plant and all that arrived that night, sucking drains and blowing drains, blah, blah, blah. But where, you know, it's when the water is here, that's when people's homes are flooded.
Yep.
They need to start acting before the damage is done.
Dale, did you look at the weather forecast before the flooding and think, right, I had
sandbags at my door before the water started to run.
Right.
But I had six sandbags here in the shed because this happens. I mean, this isn't a freak thing. This isn't, I had sandbags. And it wasn't enough, but we put them at our front door. But I mean, the pressure, the video of the water coming across the road, hitting the house with a window on the door, that's my parents' house where they're living. I mean, a lorry load of sand up in front of that door wouldn't stop it.
Yeah.
But as other people, like we knew we were a beat, so we started to carry sandbags on down when they arrived. Mm. We went on down to the other locals, and you know, it's a row of pension age people down there who were carrying sandbags and they're standing with wee brushes. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
And it's the fear and not being able to feel secure in their own homes. Dale, listen.
Oh, of course. But you know, Greg, I do want to say this, and I know I'm going on about
it. No, it's fine. This is
a pile of councillors. You will have a pile of councillors now coming on saying what they're going to do and we're going to look at this. Come on in a month's time again and see what them councillors have done. Bar talk about it. And I'll take the phone call in a month's time again, and I'll go round, and anybody that wants to say, well, he done this for me, I'll note it down. But the councillors are talking about doing this, we done this, we'll do this. Nothing has ever been done in Rafoe. Yeah. And I challenge any of the council men that wants to come out and meet me, I can show them the devastation in my yard and my shed and everything today. And anybody wants to see it, I'm here. Like, I've took time off work, thank God. They were very lenient to do what had happened.
Mm.
So I'm down money the day from my work. I'll be down with the stuff I've lost in my shed. I'll be down the damages and getting rid of all the stuff that is ruined. You know, it's just an ongoing circle. And then by the end of the week, God knows it could all happen again.
All right, Dale, listen, sorry you're going through this again. Sorry for what your parents are going through. We appreciate you speaking with us and very strong words. And we will speak to councillors. They themselves, I presume the argument would be that they can make representations, but it's not they themselves that can go out and do this work. They can plead with the executive to do it. But anyway, as I say, I'm not here to... we'll speak to councillors and get that viewpoint as well. Rachel Leeper of Rachel Leeper Hair and Makeup, based on the diamond in Rafoe, which was it was full tide, effectively, is what it looked like over Saturday. Rachel, what kind of damage has this done to your property, your business?
Well, on Saturday, my work, and I went home. No, sorry, I went to go get my child from the babysitter, and I was going home to my house, and the roads was shocking. So I kind of thought, oh dear, the house that I'm living in is my grandfather's house. I thought, oh dear, this will be a disaster, because it always floods sometimes, but never like this. We went to the house. My child was literally on the ground squealing. The water was as high as the radiators. We couldn't everything was destroyed, like everything. So we rang parents and stuff, everybody came, and we were there about an hour, and I got a phone call in to say that the cellar and the road was flooded. So my uncle had to actually take me in on the tractor because obviously the roads was all busted banks. You know, we couldn't get across, you'd ruin your car. So went in, and thank goodness, like, it's bad enough, like, I need new floors, new skirting and new carpets and stuff like that. But there is a lot of businesses that has really, really been badly affected, like, because of it. And I do feel really sorry for them, as you say, like, the older people in their houses and all that. And it's really bad. The council needs to address the problem of the water situation in full, because it's just not good enough, like.
And you got the double hit, the house and the work, Rachel.
Yes,
it's heartbreaking.
The house, like, literally, we have lost everything from, like, everything. We don't have anything at all. Everything was destroyed because it was all contaminated water. So that's a really bad blow. And, like, we're literally sitting here in my auntie's house and a blow up bed on the floor.
Oh, my God. So Rachel, how do you rebuild? Rebuild from this? You've got the cost of...
Oh, I don't actually know, because, like, for money-wise too, is, you know, the price of everything at the moment. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know where you'd go.
Well, there have been some calls for national support to come in and support people like yourself. I really hope those calls are followed through on. But you've got enough to be dealing with, running a business in difficult circumstances, family as well. And now you're having to deal with getting your house back into a livable state and your business up and running. But as we heard from Dale, you could do all that this week, and we don't know what's going to happen next weekend.
True. It is. It's awful. Like, it's just such a I don't know how you'd even do it.
Right. Listen, Rachel, let us know when you're back up and running, so we can give you a plug, so people know as well. I know you can use social media and word of mouth, but if it's of any help, let us know, and we'll let everybody else know as well. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted
That's
to add,
great.
Rachel?
Thank you.
Okay. No, you're happy enough. Okay. Take care of yourself. Councillor Patrick McGowan, sorry to hold you. I just wanted to get the voice of those affected, and we'll hear more voices shortly. This is just horrendous, and we'll get to the whys. But in terms of supports for these people, is there any movement in terms of, you know, a fund, a national fund, anything that can be drawn down on to help these people to rebuild their businesses and their homes?
Yeah, well, the Director of Services, Gary Martin, was issuing a statement yesterday, issued to all the council, made a public statement. They have obviously informed the various relative departments, and they've also put up information today about private houses, you know, about supports that will be there from the Department of Social Protection, and also for businesses, the different supports that are coming out of the Department of Enterprise and Trade, and that. So a lot of that information will be put up there live, but someone's up there before, this information will be put out there when we had flooding on Thursday and on the show and other places. So the council has sent an email out to say that they will be addressing that today, making it public and doing statements and all, and to making the different bodies, relative bodies, nationally aware of the okay, it's covered in the media, but letting them know the extent of the trouble. And, you know, there's households here, as a part of these major projects, as I say, Rafo, Lifford, Castle Fun, Ballybuffet, they're obviously they're taking too long. But then some of these were localised floodings that were really the responsibility of Donegal County Council, well-known issues. You had Lawrence McManaman on there earlier in the year. The road was completely washed away up at Glenealy, Dunfergus. The council rebuilt the road, but done absolutely nothing to work with farmers and put in drains, and lightning strike the game up there. So, like,
well, let me ask you,
stuff for national
direct,
government and stuff for local council.
But why, just talking directly to some of the concerns we've heard, why has nothing been done? What is the problem? Because
there's a major scheme ongoing, the flood relief scheme in Rafo, Lifford, Castlefun, Belfast, and recently Donegal Town, and other ones are added on. Because you're dealing with rivers and waterways, you have every department that can be, from Europe down, all having a say, and it has to end up going front and board and all that. So make one single mistake, or if they leave something out, it'll be like a bypass, it'll be stopped, and you'll have to go back to the start. It's very slow. But in fairness, the Minister Boxamore, when he was down here 6 years ago, and Minister Sunset said if there was a specific issue out of the major projects here that needed addressed straight away, providing they were planned and studied, that they would look at that. And like you're talking about the centre here at Castlefin, somewhere that's nothing to do with embankments in Castlefin, for example. That there needs to be designed and fast-tracked, and that work could be done. So there is a certain scope there. They need to get on with it. Plus, the need, as that gentleman
said earlier. Who's they, though, Patrick?
Some of the projects in Donegal, Lifford Roof 4, have been done on the Office of Public Works. Some of the other projects, Castlefin, Belfast Starter, and others across the county, have been done with the council under the Office of Public Works. Everything goes under the Office of Public Works.
Yeah, I spoke about the Donegal Town Works, and we're going to do, new ways of doing things that have never been done before, and all that's fine, right? But Rafo and Castlefin and areas around them have been devastated over this weekend. That means nothing to these people. They want to know what's going to be done this week. The local problems are known in terms of, drainage blocked or not able to take the amount of water, bigger drains, localised places where sand is stored in a dry place with dry sand bags, stuff that can be done now, long-term plans that might not... I think when I asked about the Donegal Town flood mitigation, which was the last one we talked about, there was no time frame for it. There was no, we can't... How long is a piece of string? These people need words now that talk of today, tomorrow, this week, not the promise of, major... major flood mitigation works over the course of multiple years.
What can be done in
the short term to say, right, we have got your back. Rachel's paying her rate. She's paying a water charge. She's got no business today. She would be within her rights to withhold her rates and say, and the amount she spends on water and say, well, what's the council doing for me? So outside of mentioning the OPW, this, that, and then, what can be done to protect the people, the homeowners and businesses right now of Rafo and Castlefin? If the answer is nothing, Patrick, we'll just say that. That's fine.
It's never nothing. Some of these issues, and not every flood in the same town is caused by the exact same reason. As I tell you, there was a month's rain dropped in a day and so on, and a lot of the gullies probably wouldn't take it. But a lot of these, as that man said earlier, there's a lot of localised people there do know there's certain black spots that if they were tackled, and some of that, the kind of council, senior management in the council can apply year to year for small remediation works to do to alleviate flooding. They go on, they study it, they give an engineer's report and go to the government. And they have been getting, it's like the low-cost accidents at Crossroads, they do get money every year. But there's obviously things in Rafo and Turkey and Castlefin. And the ministers did say if there's a specific issue within a town, they can apply to it. Why it's taken so long, everything now is the same. It's consultants upon consultants. But I do know, and I've called them out very clearly, we have an area manager here. She needs to be working with her management and they need to demand them action. The councillors will do that. And yes, the councillors will be that because they are the messengers. They go out to the public, like the postmen, they hear what the people say and they go back to Liverpool. And they are quite frustrated. And I know all of the councillors in this area, this time, the last time was Annie Shone or Donegal. Yeah. And we just have
I just can't help but feel that if this was floodwater that was affecting the council offices in Lifford, that there'd be diggers on the ground tomorrow or the day after. I'm not saying that's the case, but it'd be like, oh, you can't have the council offices in Lifford flooded. Yet the people of... And listen, I'm not saying it's your fault, but people need to hear that the people of Rafo and Castlefin feel neglected, left behind. Like, of all you say, why... Can you answer why there is not a central area that has sand and sandbags? We know this is going to happen, whereby they don't have to go on Facebook, please, we're desperate, anyone, can you deliver sandbags to Castlefin? Yeah. Why do we not have those types of facilities in these areas at the least? That's the one thing we could do that doesn't require any ministerial sign-off. So why don't we do things like that?
Yeah, and these things, and you'll be well aware of it, and your colleagues attend council meetings, and they do come up, and it's not always in the winter, they do come up, the council has given promises, we have these standby pumps, which is a big issue for some areas, and Lifford, and sandbags, but again, it's like the salt in the winter time, the stuff is moved away, somebody takes away, it's not replaced on that. And there just seems to be a lack of emergency. But it's down to each area manager to manage. That's where they're there. And they don't have to be an engineer. I know a lot of our local council workers on the ground and firemen and local engineers are very frustrated that they're not getting it. And I'm calling it out here, and I've said it, you know, they're not planning for the short term stuff that them people are talking about this morning. There's not a lot of people can do about some of this major stuff. It's going to take time to plan, but you are 100% correct. This was not well tackled. It was last minute. People rang the fire brigade themselves. Councillors were ringing all emergency and numbers, texting and doing that, and then the sandbags. But it's only for the community themselves that have been a lot more damage.
I mean, like
community
I say,
done a lot more than the council, unfortunately.
Hold people in a lot of respect, but the you know, like I. Also, in terms of communicating what was going on, you know, I presume others were trying their best to get information out there on Saturday. To try and inform the public of what roads were open, what roads were closed. Where was that information coming from the local authority? Like, it shouldn't be down to each like me.
It was coming from the public. It was coming from the public. It was coming to councillors and from councillors back to staff. Staff were contacting us. We were trying to put it up on social media. We were contacting senior management, the council, and we were using the same emergency numbers that were blocked out. But no, it's just simply it's been another test and it's failed. Simply, you have to call a spade a spade. The council has failed again, not to be able to react quick enough. And some of these issues could have been sorted without having to wait on these major schemes. That I would be hands up there. That is a criticism the council has to take, and they need to do a lot more.
Yeah, well, we need to see action and plans and what can be done. Anything, even if it doesn't work, to be seen to be trying to. I mean, I think there were drains were being dug on Saturday night to try and divert water. I've seen Councillor Frank McBurty sent in a release. Drains were being dug to try and divert water. Why was that happening after the fact? Why are those emergency drains or whatever it might be not already
again,
in
lack
place
of planning,
to, already
lack
in
of
place
planning.
To
just
divert
simply,
water.
Yeah.
You know,
lack of planning.
What we can't forget in all of this is that this is not roads and buildings. This is people and older people in many cases whose lives have been disrupted beyond recognition, at least in the short term, living in fear. These are people that we can't let this happen to again, or we have to at least try and to limit it into the future until such time as these major works happen. But they kind of get houses.
I've gone around. Yeah, well, I look like everybody else. I've gone around this morning with Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue. He rang me yesterday about it. He said he would go around. And I says, look, you won't see the flooding now, but you can at least talk to some of the people, Kelly Gordon, Castle Finn, and gone over to Rafoe there. And I have said to them, some of this stuff lies at the door of the council, not necessarily with your colleagues in Dublin. And you need, as the minister as well, to call a spade, and kick back the same as we are doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the government ministers get criticised, but sometimes they can't come down and reach for a shovel themselves every time the flood. And they do expect a bit more from management. We've talked about emergency planning for years. 10 years ago, I asked them to work closer with farmers. 3 years ago, Councillor Liam Blaney put a motion on, let's work with the farmers and local people, sort out some of the local drains, work together, give pipes and stuff, and it's still only been done half-hearted.
Right, we'll put a call in for the Minister to see if he can give us any, or if he's available to give us any insight into what reaction there will be from a government level to address these issues. Or what funds that might be available. Hopefully you might be privy to that information. But for now, Councillor, I appreciate it because I know you're on to a meeting as well. So apologies if we delayed you getting there.
No,
but you know yourself, it's an important issue.
Thank you.
All right, Councillor McGowan, thanks very much indeed for that. Right. We have to take a very quick break. Please, Louise, and also Kieran, please hold for a moment. We'll be back very shortly. Okay, we're continuing our coverage of the devastating floods which struck Rafoe, Castlefin and surrounds Louise O'Loughlin. Louise, sorry for holding you so long. I do appreciate your time this morning.
No, you're fine.
Right, your house was flooded on Saturday evening. Unfortunately, this is a regular occurrence for you in that property. How bad was it?
Absolutely devastating, to be honest. Mm. You know, I'm only dealing with the aftermath now today because I was gone for my 40th, so I was actually out of the house when
happy
it happened.
Happy birthday, huh?
Yeah, and I come back to this, I could have cried coming on the door, like, everything's destroyed. It's the contaminated water. Like, me and the kids couldn't even stay here. Like, we had to stay in my friend's house. We probably won't be able to stay tonight either. It's so bad. I've lost my washing machine, my tumble dryer. All the floors have to be left. But it's backed up to my house where it's situated. It's right beside the burn that busts and floods the town. Like, only last February, like, I was listening to a councillor in McGowan saying about the council trying their best. Only last year, February of last year, they were up and digging, but sure, it didn't solve anything. It actually made things worse.
See, I don't understand even something like an early warning system being in place. Like, you hear that all the time, something that says, right, we could have an event, even if we could then organise sandbagging or what have you. But anyway, that's not going to help you today, son. I'm sorry, because that's just like just gaslighting you, to be honest with you.
In February last year, like, I had to contact the council and ask for sandbags. They didn't appear. Like, nobody came at all with sandbags.
This is your fourth time being flooded. How bad is this compared to the previous times?
This is the worst now, I have to say. This is the worst now. The ferocity of the water was that bad. It was busting in my back door. I think my house kind of saved the rest because it's backed up against the wall, just at the back garden. But then I got the worst of it then because it had nowhere to go.
So your floors are gone, your carpets are gone, the house stinks because this is contaminated water, your white goods and anything on the floor is gone. How do you start...
The kids lost their shoes. It's the wee things, really, that matter to the kids.
But how do you start rebuilding from this, though, Louise? That's what I
don't know. I literally had nowhere to go this morning, and I was like, who do you ring? Nobody's saying, post you. Do you know what I mean? Who do you ring? What do you do? What help is out there? Do you know what I mean? And I was so lost this morning, and I had to, because these are respond houses. They're not council. So there was no emergency out of hours number that I could ring, even when I come back yesterday evening. So I had to wait till 8:30 this morning. And I was like, what do? I need dehumidifiers. I was so lost.
Where do you get them? Yeah, I know exactly what you're on
Where
about.
Where do I get them? Where do I start? Like, what do I do?
I don't know. Louise, you were going to say something about your daughters there. Sorry, then I asked a question.
Sorry, no, do you know what? It's not even it's the impact on the kids. Both my kids are on the spectrum. So, like, to be so disruptive in that kind of manner, do you know what I mean? Like, their routine, everything, like, my wee boy was so devastated. Their clothes are gone. Like, their clothes were sitting in laundry baskets and stuff like that. They're completely destroyed. It's the wee things that nobody thinks on. And then, where's the health today? I'm still standing here in the mess.
Yeah, I mean, because we should have, at this point, I would have thought, we have in place a team on the ground
that absolutely
signposts and deals with issues. Like, why aren't we now? Why is there not an emergency response team in place to direct you to what supports are available locally, to discuss whether or not you need alternative accommodation, like a rent, you know, like a hotel or whatever it might be? Or, you know, there's nothing there for you. You are there standing there going, well, where do I even pick these socks and shoes up off the floor? What's the point? Where do I start?
The point exactly.
Okay.
It's the small things that you don't realise has an impact on this. Yes, we can clean up the mess. Yes, we can replace floors. But when you have the kids then in mind and you're thinking, do you know, like, almost so, like, out of place, and he didn't know where he was going, he was staying over at my friend's house, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's them kind of things, and then there's still no help.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what to say, Louise, other than I'm really sorry that you're having to go through this. And I know exactly, I think I do. I can't put myself in your shoes, but, like, where do you start? Where do you go? You've no guidance, no help. You've got friends and families, as you've mentioned, that will support you. But
absolutely,
in terms of, you know, where is the emergency response team on the ground saying, well, what can we do for you today? This is where you can get dehumidifiers. This is where you can access some line of funding.
No,
you know, it's just, there's nothing.
No direction from the council, because when I was off away on my weekend, like, I was ringing the council and I had begged them to bring up sandbags. They didn't appear.
Right, okay.
And then I got to the stage that the water was too ferocious. They advised me then to ring the fire brigade myself. So I had to ring them, and one was dispatched them from Buncrana.
And they rang me on the way that the centre and the lower businesses needed the assistance, and then I'm sure my kids were left with their dad down in the middle of flood. Do you know, flood water, dirty water.
Yeah. All right. Louise, I wish you could say something to help, but I can't. Thanks for sharing the story with us. Hopefully you speaking out does kick something into action that we don't need anyone. We don't need anyone standing around looking in puddles. We need action here now. You know what I mean? That's what we need.
Absolutely.
All right, Louise, best wishes to you and the fam. All right. And
thank you so
much. On your 40th birthday weekend. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
All right. Take care.
Bye bye.
Okay. Kieran, hopefully, Kieran of Kieran's Butchers. I know you're really busy, Kieran, and I appreciate you holding there. You took a hit on Saturday. Thankfully, they were able to get the shop open this morning. How bad was it for you guys?
It was just terrible. So it was great. I was coming down the back opening there from the whole morning and everything, you know. I was up to your waist nearly coming down.
Yeah.
And going over in the back of the shop there. But we were very lucky we got the sandbags down in time, you know, and we escaped it right, and not too badly.
Yeah.
But all our businesses now was very, very badly affected.
And Kieran, you've learnt then from history and were able to react quickly.
Yeah.
I presume the Kieran's Butchers in Rafoe has been flooded before.
Oh, umpteen times. The lady that's there now, she's 80 years of age. She's living with that now, 60 years. Like, she lives above the shop there.
Yeah.
You know, but the work that the previous owner done there before, you know, he dug a big, like a culvert the whole way down and diverted it on out. If we hadn't done that now, we would have been completely washed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I took one of the firemen up and showed him the big pipe that comes out to the car park there at McBurdy's, and he couldn't get over the flow of water that comes down there, you know? But it's completely unreal, like.
Right. Okay. But you're back open today anyway.
We're back open now, and this morning they're going to open right near the end. We've got things sitting down now. But
the road's badly damaged in front of you, isn't it?
Oh, the whole entrance there onto the back of the shop's completely washed away. The whole barn lifted up, you know, the slabs and everything all lifted up along there. Then run over on the deal then, you see, the road and everything.
All right. Okay.
You know.
Something needs to be done, Kieran.
Oh, it needs to be done some big time now. I don't know what needs to be done. Things need to be sorted out right and quick now. By the time it comes to drop of rain now, heavy rain, your heart's in your mouth.
Yeah. All right, Kieran. Listen,
you know,
good to see that you were able to get in situ quickly. All right. Thanks very much indeed, Kieran of Kieran's Butchers and Rafoe, which is open for business today. I think we're going to have to come back. I'm not going to be able to get through everyone, so we're going to have to come back to some of this. Hopefully, Lawrence, if you could please hold and come back to us after 10, Lawrence, or hang up. I'll come back to you because I know I spoke to you the last time and I would like another chat with you. Just some further political reaction first before the news at 10, because as we mentioned, it wasn't just Rafoe, Castlefin also hit by devastating floods, and anyone watching on the live stream here can see the devastation of the water just in the middle of the town there. Councillor Gary Doherty, why are we back here again? Sort of trying to make sure we learn lessons. We should have these lessons learned at this point.
Absolutely, Greg. And I think the people on the ground, the people that are directly affected by this, they have no lessons whatsoever to learn because they know exactly what's going to happen. And everybody who was watching the rain all day on Saturday, particularly around 6 or 7 o'clock, and when they started to see roads that were turning into rivers coming down off the hills, I think everybody locally here knew exactly what was going to happen. So I think lessons that need to be learned, I think we need to be changing how we approach this going forward. And that's something that I'm demanding of both the council and
what needs to be done? Because, Councillor, I mean, obviously, you know, this isn't a political issue. You're also an elected representative. You've also dealt with this in the past. And you're also, you know, in your seat whilst it seems nothing is being done. I'm not saying that. That's, you know, we heard that from callers earlier on. So what can you as a group of councillors do to try and make sure this doesn't happen again, or that people at least have some level of support and defence when it does happen?
Yeah, so I think there's three very specific action points that we can do straight away, Greg. Number one is to fast track any elements of the larger flood relief schemes that can be done in the short term, rather than waiting for the planning permissions for the detailed design and construction phases needed for the bigger schemes. So, for example, in Castlefin, that means that the larger flood scheme, which involves constructing big embankments at the river, there's a separate phase of that scheme which involves piping a new culvert across the road at McGlynn's restaurant there. That can be done in the short term. There's no need to wait for the rest of the scheme for that to be done. And I'm asking both the council and the department to fast track that, which would solve that one problem. Secondly, we need to have a stock of sand and sandbags ready to use and to be ready there at various locations throughout the MD.
Why did you and your fellow councillors not make sure that that bank of sand and dry bags was not already in the areas where we know there's going to be flooding? Like, why are you making that call today? But why wasn't it done after the last flooding event?
That call was made before, Greg. Absolutely. And why was it not there on Saturday night? Only the council can answer that, and we're going to a meeting at 11 o'clock, and I intend to find out the answer to that, because it's simply not good enough. Both myself and the other councillors that represent this MD, we're an area that is repeatedly affected by flooding. We have asked these questions, and we had asked that these supplies would be put in place. Now, when people then, even council staff, went on Saturday night to get the bags, they found that there weren't enough and that whatever was there was already out. Mm-hmm. So that's not good enough.
All right, okay.
So now there needs to be a stockpile in each town rather than sending people to Lufford or Ballybuffet. We need a stockpile here now in Castlefin. They need a stockpile in Raphoe. We need a stockpile in Lufford. And just finally, Greg,
briefly, please.
We need the departments now to come in with financial support for these people, because there are businesses and homes, mm-hmm. some of whom are not insured for flooding, okay. because they've already been flooded before.
Right,
they need financial assistance.
And we're going to follow that up after 10. Thank you very much indeed for that, Councillor Gary Doherty. Okay.